I'll begin this morning by reading one of Shinran Shonin's Wasan hymns. This hymn, I think, is particularly meaningful. I've spoken about this recently, but I think we can come back to it from many different perspectives. And so I invite you to join me in Gassho as we hear these words of Shinran Shonin. この Shinran Shonin の言葉をいただきます。Gassho をお願いします。The liberating wheel of light is without bound. Each person it touches, it is taught, is freed from attachments to being and non-being. So take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination. Gedatsu no kiwa monashi. Kousoku kamuru mono amina ume o hanaru to nobeta mo byodo kakuni imyo se yo. Namam Bhavatsu, Namam Bhavatsu, Namam Bhavatsu, Namam Bhavatsu. Morning, everyone. Minasan, ohayou gozaimasu. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, our first regular Dharma School service of the new year. Happy New Year to those of you who I haven't had the opportunity to see yet this year, and our first regular Dharma service of the month of January. Each month here at the San Mateo Buddhist Temple, we have a theme, and that theme is based on our major service for that month. And so next week, we're going to have our major service here at the temple. Can anyone tell me what that major service we have in the month of January is? I hear some mumbled ho-onko. Ho-onko. Yes, that's right. Ho-onko. And at a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple, Ho-onko is the most important service that we observe. It's the biggest service. It's the most significant service in Japan. Ho-onko services at temples are usually at least 3 days. At Honganji, it's a full 1 week. This month, from the 9th to the 15th, Honganji will be observing the Ho-onko services. And if you go to the Honganji website, you can actually watch those services online. So for us, we will have our one service next week for Ho-onko. Now, can anyone tell me what Ho-onko is about? What is the meaning of Ho-onko service? What is its significance? Why do we do the Ho-onko service? I'll give you a hint. It's a memorial service. It's a memorial service for someone. Yes, do you know, Nicole? Shinran Shonin, that's correct. It's our annual memorial service for Shinran Shonin. It's said now, according to the Western calendar, that Shinran Shonin passed into the Pure Land on January 16th. January 16th is the date that we observe on the Western calendar. According to the old Japanese calendar, it was the 28th day of the 11th month. So that's why Higashi Honganji temples do their Ho-onko in November. We here at the San Mateo Buddhist Temple at Honganji do our service in January. And it's a very important service. It's a memorial service. Has anyone here been to a memorial service before? For a family member or somebody who you knew or who you were close to or was a relative of yours? And we go to those memorial services in order to remember our loved ones, to think about all the wonderful things that they did, and to show our gratitude for those things they did that make the lives that we live today possible. So that's the meaning of our memorial services. And so this month, as we observe this memorial service for Shinran Shonin, we're also reflecting upon his life and the wonderful things that he did for us. Now you may be asking yourself, well, Shinran Shonin, didn't we do the 750th memorial service for him a few years ago? He lived over 700 years ago. What connection does he have with me and my life? Well, Shinran Shonin, he clarified this teaching of the Nembutsu, this teaching of entrusting in Amida Buddha. And so as we think about his life, we think about how his teachings that he shared have been passed down all these years. Over 750 years, people have continued to pass down his teachings to this day. So what kind of life did he live? What kind of teachings did he share? That's what we'll be talking about this month. And specifically, we're going to talk about a certain period of his life, from age 9 to age 29. Age 9 to 29. Shinran Shonin was living in a very special place called Mount Hiei. Mount Hiei. Mount Hiei is a place in Japan. Has anyone here been to Mount Hiei before? Yeah, Michael's been. Michael, what did you see at Mount Hiei? What did they have there? Temples, that's right. Lots and lots of temples. So Shinran, at the age of 9, he went to live in a Buddhist temple. A Buddhist temple. Can you imagine that at the age of 9, going and moving in and living at a Buddhist temple? So when he went to live at that Buddhist temple at the age of 9, there were certain rules at that temple, certain rules when you go into the temple. So does anybody here go to school or been to school before? Everybody goes to some kind of school. Even Shoma goes to school, right? Right? And at school, the first day of school, what do you do with the teacher? One of the first things you do. That's right. That's right. You go over the rules. You go over the rules. Why do you go over the rules? Yeah, Nicole? So you can follow the rules. That's right. So you can follow the rules and not break those rules, right? So what are some rules that you have at your school? What are some rules? Yeah, Dioma? Don't be a bully. That's a wonderful rule. Don't be a bully. That's right. Nicole?
Don't say bad words.
Don't say bad words. That's right. Yeah? How about you, Shoma? No running. That's right. Maybe no running inside. Right? That's right. You have to be safe. That's right. That's a rule. How about you, Haley?
Be respectful.
Be respectful, right? So we have all kinds of rules. Maybe some when I was in school. Yes, Yoma? That's right, that's right. So raise your hand, and if your teacher goes like this, then you put your hand down, right? Right? I remember that. Okay, so we've got all these rules. Why do we have rules? What are the rules for? Why do we need rules? Is it to keep people from having fun? No? Haley, why do you think we have rules? To keep people safe, to create a nice environment, a nice place to study and to learn. So a temple, a Buddhist temple, is basically a school. It's a place where you go to learn the teachings of the Buddha. And so Buddhist temples also have rules. Buddhist temples also have rules. And some of these rules go all the way back to the time of the Buddha. Those rules that go all the way back to the Buddha, we call those the Vinaya. The Vinaya, that's the set of rules that go all the way back to the Buddha. And there are 10 basic rules, 10 basic rules that they have at the temple. And I'm going to share those with you now, these 10 rules. And I want you to think about these rules. Think about whether they would be easy or difficult to follow, okay? First rule, no killing for enjoyment, okay? No killing for enjoyment. You may think, well, that sounds easy. Who likes to kill? Right, but what if there's a mosquito? Bzzz. Right?
Right? That's also killing.
Killing, and you enjoy it, maybe. Right? Or you may think, well, I don't enjoy this, but that mosquito annoys me, or it bites me and it brings me pain, so if I kill it, I'm preventing pain. So in that way, even killing a bug is killing for enjoyment. Right? Right? No stealing. No, stealing. This one's pretty easy, right? Should be pretty easy, right? Yeah, Dioma?
Remember the time when we were at the Academy of Science and then someone came in for no reason when nobody was looking at it and then broke the window, smashed, and then stole my backpack and some emergency clothes?
That's true. Yes, we were when someone stole our stuff once. That happened, and that's happened to people. And how did we feel about it? We didn't like it, right? We weren't happy about that, right? And so we think about how the things that we do might make other people feel bad too, right? So another one, next rule: no foolish romantic relationships, right? This is a rule for everybody, right? This is a rule for everybody, okay? There's a rule, no lying, right? No lying, okay? No selling alcohol, okay? This is a rule for everybody, according to the traditional rules that the Buddha set forth. No gossiping about other people's faults, yeah. Do you know what gossip is?
No.
No? Gossip is when, you know, if you see something and, you know, you say, oh, you know. Bad-mouthing people, right? Bad-mouthing people, you know, you could say, you know, sometimes you might say, oh, did you see that guy's shirt? Oh, it was so messy, so wrinkly. People could say that about me, right? That's why I wear Japanese clothes all the time, so that no one sees my wrinkly shirts, right? So, you know, but you could, you know, all kinds of ways that people gossip and they say, oh, look at that person. You talk bad about other people. You point out their faults, right? Right? So that's one of the rules. Another one is not praising oneself and putting other people down. Right? It means like to say, oh, I'm so great. You know, I did such a good job. I do so wonderfully. I'm so good. Those other people, they're a bunch of losers. They're no good. Right? That was against the rules that the Buddha established. Another very important rule, no refusing to share. If you have something, somebody else needs it or would like to share it with you, always have to share. It's one of the basic rules that the Buddha set down. Okay? Another very important rule, no holding grudges. Do you know what a grudge is? A grudge is when you get mad at somebody and you refuse to let it go. You refuse to let it go. You get so mad and you just hold on to that anger and that frustration. That's called holding a grudge. And you always have to accept someone's apologies. So if someone says they're sorry, you have to accept their apology, right? That can be very difficult. And then the final one is not disrespecting the three treasures. Remember the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And the Sangha is the community, so that means to be respectful of everyone, right? So what do you think about these rules? Do they seem like good rules to live by? Yeah, for the most part, I would say. I would say these are all wonderful rules that we can all think about in some way and try to live by these rules. These are called the 10 grave precepts. These are the 10 basic rules that go all the way back to the time of the Buddha. So if you lived at a temple, you were supposed to follow these rules. In fact, all Buddhists, whether they were at the temple or at home, even some people who had families and lived at home, these were the 10 basic rules for everybody who followed the teachings of the Buddha. Right? Now, yes, Dioma. I may not have told you those rules when you're two, right? Perhaps this is the first time you're hearing them, and now let's remember them and try to live by them, right? Is there anybody else for whom this is the first time they're hearing these 10 rules? Maybe a few others, right? So we can all think about these and think about how we can try to live by these, whether we're at school or we're at home. So now when you're at school, are the rules more strict at your school or at your house? Which place has stricter rules? School? School? Yeah, for most people, maybe the rules are a little bit stricter at school than at home, right? And so it was the same way in the Buddhist temples. For monks and nuns who lived at the temple, the rules were even stricter than for people who lived at home. Right? So for example, the householder rule is no killing for fun, right? No killing for pleasure or for enjoyment. But maybe you could see a mosquito and say, oh, well, that mosquito is going to spread malaria or the Zika virus, and so I have to kill that mosquito to protect my family, right? Or, for example, sometimes people say, well, we need to have proper protein in our diet, so we need to catch and eat fish to have protein. Some people maybe are people who catch fish for a living, right? Yes, Joma, did you have a question? That's another option. That's right. You can wave it away, right? So there are different ways of trying to incorporate these rules into your life. But if you were a monk or a nun, you had to observe the rule very strictly. And that meant no killing, period. Even if there's a mosquito biting your arm, you can't smash it. You try to blow it off or something, right? The rules were very strict. And, you know, if somebody brought you some meat and gave you some meat. The Buddha wasn't a vegetarian, but if somebody gave him a donation of some food that contained meat, then he could receive it, but he couldn't request, could you bring beef tomorrow? Right? He couldn't ask people to bring, he wouldn't ask people to bring him meat, and he also, you couldn't receive meat if somebody said, oh, I slaughtered this cow so that you could have steak. Right? You couldn't receive it. Yes, Shoma, did you have a question too?
Daddy,
yes, Shoma.
I want to pick one of the rules. There's a fly on the elbow.
There's a fly on the elbow? Yep, that's right. And it was annoying, right? But you have to be patient at those difficult times. The other rule, right? No foolish romantic relationships for householders, for people. You know, people who mommies and daddies and mommies and mommies and daddies, they have what we call romantic relationships. But people who are monks and nuns cannot get married, right? That was the traditional rule of people who followed the teachings that had been, this rules that had been passed down for monks and nuns from the time of the Buddha. So no relationships at all, no getting married, right? Very strict rule. And then for householders, there was a rule against selling alcohol. But for monks and nuns, they couldn't drink any alcohol. No beer, no wine, no sake. Right? Very strict rules for monks and nuns. And for 20 years of his life, Shinran tried to abide by these rules. Yes, Gyoma?
Why can't get married? Why cannot get married if you're
That's a wonderful question, because if you're a monk or a nun, if you live in the monastery, then you're dedicating your whole life to studying Buddhism. And if you have a family, remember when the Buddha, and when he went out to seek meditation, he left home. He had a wife and a child at home, and he went out to seek the path to enlightenment. And in order to do that, he had to spend all his time morning to night, studying and meditating and practicing the path to realizing awakening, right? And that's what monks and nuns traditionally have done. So from the first moment they wake up in the morning till the moment that they go to sleep at night, they're constantly focused on one thing, and that is pursuing their path to enlightenment. Now, if you have a family, when you first wake up in the morning, right? Maybe you have to make breakfast for your children, right? Then you have to take them to school, right? And then maybe you have to go to a job to earn money so that you can afford to buy food and clothing and a house and all of these things for your family, right? So you spend your day doing all kinds of different things and not just meditating and studying the teachings of the Buddha. So for monks and nuns, traditionally, Their job was to do only one thing, study the teachings of the Buddha. And so in order to have lots of time to do that and to not have to worry about earning money to provide for their family, they would leave home and live in this situation, right? Now that sounds difficult, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Shinran did that for 20 years, trying to pursue a path to enlightenment. But you know what he found? After doing that for 20 years, he didn't get enlightened. He didn't get enlightened. And so he thought, well, this is a really wonderful path. This is a path and teachings from the Buddha. It's wonderful. And surely there are maybe some people for whom this is the best way to live and the best way to study the teachings of the Buddha. But for me, it's not a good fit. It's not a good fit, right? It's like, imagine that your mom or your dad has a really nice jacket, a beautiful jacket, and you love that jacket. Your mom and dad is so kind, they say, oh, if you like this jacket so much, why don't you wear it, right? How would it fit, right? Arms would be long and floppy, and it's still a beautiful jacket, but it doesn't fit right, right? It won't keep you warm, won't keep you dry, because it doesn't fit your body. And Shinran found that this life of following these very strict rules and living in the monastery, that it wasn't a good fit for him. It wasn't the teaching that would enable him to become enlightened. So he left that mountain. He left Mount Hiei, and he went searching for another path, and he found a teacher. His teacher was named Honen Shoni. He found that teacher, and that teacher taught him about Amida Buddha, taught him about the Nembutsu, right? And Shinran, while he was in that community with Honen, he met a very special lady. Her name was Eshini. Eshini. Does anyone know who Eshini was? Eshini was Shinran's wife, right? So he started out as a monk, but then he got married, right? And he had several children. We also talk about Kakushini, their youngest daughter. She's a very important person in the Buddhist teachings, right? So Shinran went from a life of observing these really strict rules for 20 years to then following a different path where he got married, where he had a family, where he went out and lived among the common people who didn't observe these strict rules. And that's the inspiration for our teaching. And that's why your minister is a Buddhist priest, but he's married, right? He has a family, and he eats meat, right? And he sometimes smashes mosquitoes, right? Right? And all of these things, right, that a good Buddhist monk is not supposed to do. You know, I try to follow these teachings. I try to live according to these ten rules, but I also realize that, like Shinran, this is very difficult for me. So I need to find another path. And I find that path where Shinran found it, in the Nembutsu, in the teaching of the great compassion of Amida Buddha. So I'll be talking more about that in the next, over this month, talking about there's three learnings. One is following these rules. One is to practice meditation, and one is to realize wisdom. So today we talked about these rules, then we'll talk about meditation, and we'll talk about wisdom later in the month. So I thank you for joining us this morning. Let us conclude by once again hearing these words of Shinran Shoni. Please join me in Gesho. Gedatsu no kōrin, kiwa mo nashi, kōsoku kamuranu, ものは皆、有無を離ると述べたも、平等覚に奇妙せよ。The liberating wheel of light is without bound. Each person it touches, it is taught, is freed from attachments to being and non-being. So take refuge in Amida, the enlightenment of non-discrimination.
Namo Amida Butsu.Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you.